God, we just want to bring this night before you, Lord. And God, I just want to declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, that you are in control, Lord. That you are Lord, that you are God. Lord, that nothing takes you by surprise, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you have the answers already, Lord. And God, tonight, Lord, we just want to surrender to your purposes, God. And Father, I want to bring every person here before you, Lord. And God, we know that you've got an amazing plan, God, in this area for people to know you, to really be transformed, God, to change, Lord, to experience your peace and your love and your power, Lord, to change, Lord. God, I thank you that your heart is for families, Lord, that your heart is for marriages. It's for children, Lord. God, thank you that you are a father, Lord. And God, that we can know that you want to reconcile, Lord, that you want to draw in, you want to comfort, you want to heal, you want to restore, you want to deliver, Lord, that people can really walk in the abundance of what you've called us for. And Father, we pray, Lord, that even tonight, Lord, we know this in the natural, it looks like we're just becoming smaller in the evenings. I know that your heart is for revival, Lord, for people who are out there who do not know you, to come in and to walk in into the presence of God and to be transformed immediately, Lord. God, just that testimony this morning where a lady just got healed in the presence of God, just from back problems. She couldn't stand. The next moment, you healed. And we want to honor you for that, God. It's just such an amazing testimony of your goodness and of your mercy, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you are much bigger, God, than what we ever can imagine, Lord. That you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord. And that you are in absolute control, Lord, and we surrender to your purposes. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I say, you can sit. Hello, Tini. Okay. I'm going to bring what I'm calling a prophetic message, but I want to ask everyone, who's of you struggle to sleep? If you can, you sleep for hours, not. Be honest. Okay. Anyone else? Like there? Okay. And is there anyone who's not wanting to put up their hands? Okay. But I'm just seeing many ladies are not sleeping. And it's not, I thought it was just a baby thing, but it's not. So I just want to put it out there as well. There's many people who are really struggling to sleep. But the other morning, of this Wednesday morning, I went to intercession. And as I drove down, I saw a train. I live in Holderview. So I saw this train and my heart was like, and I knew God was wanting to say something to me. I wasn't sure what it was. And it was dark and there was lights on the train. So I knew God is saying something to me. And for you guys who were here this morning, you're going to hear the same message again. So, okay, so I see this train. While we're praying, I just get a picture that this train, that we as a church, is a steam train. And these two got married, the train was a big thing with them because a train runs on grace and truth. It is two railway lines. You need both equally. And they took photographs at the railway line. And I still said that he is truth and that Leandri is grace. And if you can just stand up quickly, Leandri, if you want to know what grace is, it's something that you get that you don't deserve. Sorry, Leandri. Let's give her a hand. Thank you, Leandri. I'm exposing her, but she's grace. And so the train runs on grace and truth, but it's unstoppable. It's a ministry that cannot be stopped, and it's got a destiny. It's got a purpose, and it's going to that place, and it's massive. And then I just felt God is saying that the intercessor, the guys who pray, are the guys who are putting the coal into the oven. And this oven is just smoke because there's no fire, because the guys are not working. But as they work, they're getting stronger because they're putting in coals, and their arms get stronger because they work. But it's consistent working and putting in the coals to get it going so that there's fire. And when there's fire, the train moves. And when the train moves, hallelujah, praise God, things are changing. So I just wanted to show you a picture of what I believe this should look like. So that is not pollution. It's the intercessory prayers that's going into heaven. That is incense that's onto the Lord. But it's because people are praying. Who of you have read the book Reaping the Whirlwind? Us van die Warrelwind. Have you read it? I'm impressed. Denise Woods. Nee, Denise Woods. Okay. Anyone else who've read that book? But if you can, it's really a good book about South African history. I just lend it to Lisa Kritzinger, but there's a prophecy in there as well, where they talk about Africa as a like a gun, a revolver, and the one point, the western side is like the holster where the trigger is pulled, and the bullet will come from the southern point, and just basically that triggers Nigeria. And there's been Nigerians coming to South Africa and even to our church as well. And then in this Reaping the Whirlwind, there was these Nigerian people that came to South Africa at 1994 with prophetic words. God showed them visions in dreams while they were praying, and they came to pray at these specific places. And God showed them about many strongholds in South Africa that was built to bring glory to darkness, to Satan. And we think this tradition, and we're very proud of it, but what they're saying is it's not. But one of these guys, his name is Sagan, and Tian lent his teachings to me, and I'm actually now listening to it again. And he's just saying at this one point, you know, I was very busy at this one time, and I could only pray 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day. And he says, you know, this, the Christians that pray for a half an hour, it's like the angel standing around him like, come on, man, we can't fight with that. That's, give us more. We want more. And half an hour a day praying, it's a stretch. I mean, who prays half an hour a day? Who prays 5 minutes a day? So I'm just realizing that God is saying we must pray. We must pray that my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. But you, we are so busy. We are so busy. We having to go to Joburg. We're having to fly overseas. We're having to, I've got a baby in the house. Some people have two. Some people have four children in the house. They're just busy. They're traveling all the time. You're having to drop the kids off 7:30. You've got to be here. Otherwise, they sit at Meneer Solier's desk until 9 o'clock. So you just don't want to expose your kid that way. So you drive like mad people, and it's traffic, and you have to get here just to get your kid here on time. Then in the car to go and get and drop the other one off at where he is. By the time you get to work, you are sweating. It's hard. Work, meetings, people to see, everyone wants to see you. We are just so incredibly busy at the moment. People are struggling, and what I'm seeing is that when you have a small baby in the house, it's tough, because now you are used to sitting at the couch with your feet up and you're doing the channel hopping thing, and now suddenly there's someone screaming the whole time and you can't hear properly, and it's your wife because you're not helping. You know, you can't do those things anymore. And I just joked to men, I joked to the guys this morning. I said the mother instinct is like the following. If the baby cries in that cot, you just have to lie 2 seconds longer, then she'll jump up to go and rescue, you know. So for me, I joked with my, I joked and I said, yeah, I know pregnancy wasn't so bad for me. I didn't feel anything. And then when the next boy got born, I got that sickness that goes with that the mom had. And she laughed at me because I just felt nauseous for weeks on end, but I believe it was because I was making stupid jokes like that, and God just came to punish me because I should be compassionate with my wife because she's going through a tough time. And it's difficult when your wife falls pregnant. It's difficult. There's, you know, the most amazing thing is when she gets the baby and you look at your wife and you look at this little thing that came from her, and they're almost the same size. You're like, how does this work? But it's amazing. And the way you look at your wife changes immediately. But the thing is, your life changes. And the most busy people there are is people with kids, because you're always running around after them, having to do things. And it gets worse the older they get. More stuff. You just have to carry less stuff. In the beginning, it's all the prams and all of that, but it gets less. And I was just saying this morning as well, you know, when we started church here, that site didn't exist. It was just there. And I would do, I unlock and bring out the speakers. And Neil Hoy was then doing the speakers, and he was doing setup at the back. And I was doing the announcements. And Kobus Nan again was doing the announcements and sending out all the stuff. And I was a cell leader. And we had a baby in the house, and we had a 2-year-old. In the house, and I was still cell leader, and we will have these huge fights, and then there's a knock on the door, and then we go, hello, come in, welcome, did you have a blessed week? And but we had this huge fight, and in halfway through the fight or through the cell group, you go, sorry, and that's how you made up, because you're just so busy, you can't get time for one another. There's no thing where you have a Wednesday or Friday night off just to go somewhere, because there's no one to look after your kids, especially when there's not a mom, even though they live here, but they're not, sometimes mothers are not, or grandmothers aren't that involved. And no, wil die kerk nog hê, you must serve. You must do this and do this. And they're talking about serving, and I'm so busy, I don't want to do this. And it's like tithing. You know, when you tithe and you don't want to tithe, you shouldn't tithe. 10%. I'm not giving 10%, but I'll just do it because I have to. Then don't do it. It's the same with serving. We come and we're like, I have to serve. And now we ask the people with kids that they must serve it once in 6 weeks. And do you know how busy I am? People are, the kerk. Ons is vies vir die kerk, want we must not work for the kerk. And I realize we are all so busy. But rules without relationship leads to rebellion. If it is because we have to do stuff, we will eventually just get upset and say, no more. I don't want to, and I want to walk away. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's that freedom to say, yes, God, I do it as unto you. But it's easier said than done, because we are very, very busy. And because we are busy, we are drawn out, and it's hard. It's hard. And it's hard on the moms specifically. And I want to just encourage the guys as well to support the wives, especially when they are babies. But I believe God is saying that He wants us to rest. In Exodus 20 verse 11, 6 days God made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested. Therefore He blessed the Sabbath and He made it holy. Now there was a girl that was in our church, and like 3 times, when I'm late for church, I would catch her walking past my house. And I stop, and I'm late. But this time I thought, I'm going to be late, but I'm going to stop. So I stopped next to her, and I spoke to her. And she says, yeah, but this and this, and she's not in a fellowship, and this, and she knows. But this whole thing about the Hebrew roots, and she really feels the Shabbat and the feast and all of that. Where's my scripture? Hey, thank you. You must listen to my sermon, Christina. I'm going to make you write exam afterwards, eh? So I said to her, you know, like, just if you want to do Shabbat, you must work for 6 days. You cannot work for 5 days and not work for 6 days. Very important. So work for 6 days, and the seventh day you can rest in on the Saturday. Then I'm happy if you want to do it. But God, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Just quickly, Jesus got risen on the Lord's Day. It was a Sunday. The early Christians separated the two. But the principle is that God wants us to rest. He wants us, we need rest. And our lives are so busy, and it's so, we're doing so many things that we're not coming to a place where we can rest. And that I really believe God is wanting us to get our priorities in order. Now, you know, just talking about rest, this word that I had, I started researching. Who of you know about it? Blood moons, the tetrad blood moons. Who doesn't know anything about it? If you don't know, then I just quickly want to tell you. There's a guy called Mark Blitz. He's a pastor. He's a Messianic Jew. He saw that 2014, 2015, there's going to be a red moon on Easter or Passover, on the Hebrew calendar, and the Feast of Tabernacles on the 2014, and then on 2015, it's going to be four blood moons, and they all will fall on those festivals four times. And he thought, yes, that's interesting. I wonder when was the previous time it happened. He's on NASA's website, and he realized that was in 1967 when Israel took, there was a six-day war. They call it the six-day war, and they took in Jerusalem. It's a big thing in the calendar because for 2,000 years there weren't any Jews in Jerusalem. Like, oh, when did it happen before? 1948-49, when Israel became a state. And people believed before that there would not be anything. So this is now last year with Easter or with Passover. Sorry, there's a big difference between the two. It was when ISIS launched all those missiles into Israel. So on the prophetic guys, they're saying, yo, this is quite hectic. But there's another guy. His name is Jonathan Kahn, and he's saying that God is in Leviticus 26. It talks about God says that we must work the land for 6 years, and the seventh year we must rest the land. Now this is according to the law. 6 years you work the land, seventh year you rest the land, and you work, live from off the land. Then you have seven of those, 49 years, and then there's a year of Jubilee. And yes, so Eric, get me blessed because you were singing about the year of Jubilee. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So next year will be the year of Jubilee. What is interesting, 1967, the year when Israel took over Jerusalem, was a Jubilee year. 7 years later, 1973, there was the OPEC price oil price shock, when the oil price raised from $3 to $12 in October 73. A bank crisis happened after that. Then 7 years later, 1980, there was a hard recession in the USA. 87, 7 years later, Black Monday in October, markets collapsed. It started in Hong Kong, Europe, America. 94, the bond market crashed. 7 years later, 2001, it was 9/11. The planes flew into the World Trade Centers, into the Pentagon. The very next day, the stock market collapsed. Many people lost money. 7 years later, 2008, the Lehman Brothers got bankrupt. Many other banks got bankrupt. And then on 29 September, the stock market fell with 777 points in one day. So a huge collapse had happened. And what he's saying is, when the Jews did not start following these laws anymore of God, judgment came. And there were so many Shemitahs that they didn't withhold. There were 70 of them. So for 70 years, God took them into exile so that the land could rest. And then he only brought them back. And what he's saying is in America, they made a commitment to God that they will follow the rules of God. And he believes they are falling away. And because they are falling away, God is bringing judgment. And this judgment is progressively increasing every, and it happens every time on the Shemitah on that day that it's supposed to happen. It's because it's not always in the same day because they've got different calendars. And he says that it talks about a shaking that happens. The Shemitah can also be translated as a Shemitah. It's a blessing when we're walking according to the will of God, but it can bring judgment when we're out of the will of God. So then there comes a shaking. So for me, I'm just starting to see that God is talking to me and saying that, you know, He wants us to get the order right in our home. So He wants us to follow Him and be obedient to Him and do things that is in His will. But it is difficult because we are busy. And out of just my own experience, we're running around having to do courses, having to preach a Bible school, encounter ones. Then there's not someone doing Bible school. Then you've got to do it. So you the whole time so busy, you come home late, you have to wake up early meetings, late meetings. So there's no rhythm where you just can come into a place where you have to spend time with God. So I'm talking about my own experience where I'm really wanting, I know the truth, but it's difficult because I am just so busy. So last year, and I shared this morning, I remember Yaku, he said every time he did the Holy Spirit in Bible school, he got sick afterwards. And I did the Holy Spirit this year. Did you get sick last year after the Holy Spirit? In the last year. So there's a tremendous knock that we take, especially when it's to do with the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, there's hectic things that is happening. This one lady got miraculously healed. Luckily, Renee van der Veen was there, but it's very emotional. Encounter one, I'm having this huge fight with my mom. She's babysitting our children, and Lynette wants to come, and now we have this fight. And I'm doing something terrible. I'm feeling still bad about it. My wife is still upset with me. But now I've got to go and tell people about Jesus and forgiveness of sins and repent and all of that. And as I'm preaching, I'm just saying, oh, Here, forgive me, I'm so sorry. But I felt like a dog. I was wrong. It was bad that I've done. And in spite of who I am, God still did a wonderful thing. And the next morning, there was these two people who are intercessors, and we started talking and exchanging notes, and I realized that over many years that what they've picked up in the Spirit and what I've picked up correlated. So we were just, it was like, but then 12 o'clock, my wife wakes up, Vazek. She phones, the security guys come there. Now she's upset with me, Vazek. And it's like the next morning we're praying. So we pray, but we cry, and I cry before God, and I just come to a place where I'm on my knees, and I said, God, I love you. And then I said, but Lord, and when I said I love you, I just started weeping. And I realized that everything that I went through, I did because I love Jesus so much. And I'm talking about bad things that has happened. Maybe some of you might not know, but many friends that I had, people that I knew really well, died. So that night, Lynette and I are not happy with one another again. So I just decided I'm going to go and watch a movie by myself. I loved it. It was the first time in 9 years, but it was The American Sniper. So I went to go and watch it. So I just want to repent. I went to go and watch a worldly movie, but I really enjoyed it. So I just want to repent. But the movie is about this guy that his order is God, country, and then family. So it's a bit wrong there. But he goes and he becomes a sniper in Iraq. And his heart is to protect his men. So he sits on a high point and he takes out people before the enemy could take them out. And I realized, and people around him die. And I realized with this guy, I can identify with him because all the trauma that he has gone through, he's hardened. And his wife says he's hard, and she's like sort of accusing him and saying, you're not caring and all of that. And I see myself there from here. And I see exactly what Lynette was seeing in me. So the next day I said to her, and I just said afterwards, I said to Heinrich or someone, I just said, the snipers just swear a little bit more than the pastors, but we can identify with their lifestyle. So I'm just happy. So now I'm speaking to my wife, and we're just praying. And I said to Lynette, my first priority, it's you. It's God, it's you, it's our children, then it's ministry. And for her to hear that was good, and to enforce it, it's better, because I understand that should be my responsibility. Because what happens is, especially when you have young babies, the mom is sitting and she's doing this. And there was this lady that used to be in our church. She was standing in a row with a packet of oranges, and she's doing this because she's so used to working a baby, or that she didn't realize that she was holding oranges. But you get so tired, because it's every 2 hours, 3 hours, you wake up. And then if you have a baby, have colic or reflux, because both my sons had reflux, and you're trying and you're praying in the spirit and nothing is helping. 2, 3, 4 hours a night, you're standing there. And the next day at work, I go and sleep on a toilet roll. Just for 2 seconds that I can just wake up again, because while I'm working on my computer, I'm falling asleep like that. It's hard. Your wife doesn't sleep. And when people don't sleep, they become nasty with one another. They're just nasty, nasty with one another. So what happens is the wife is starting to give instructions to the husband. Yeah, you must hold the baby this way. You must do this. You must... And vryf die ruggie hier achter. Nie so nie. Ah, jy doen dit verkeerd. Jy gaan hom seer. So eventually, the husband is submitting to the wife, and the wife is giving the instructions, and the order gets flipped around. Now, when the children gets bigger, the children is everything. So the wife is just, and the husband stands there. There's no more love there. So now he's even lower on the rank. And there's no time for God. So the father's trying to get the love of his wife back, but he's not spending time with God. So God is not even in the equation anymore. And I'm speaking about spirit-filled people. There's people who are not in our church came to us. They're getting divorced, other third parties, all of these things. They're born again, spirit-filled, baptized. I said to them, what happened? She said, we got too busy. Too busy. Too busy. And I realized, my word, there's something that God is speaking to us about. He wanting us to rest. God wants us to rest, that we get our priorities right, that God is number one. In the 70s, when I was a lighty, the only shop that was open was the Greek shop on the corner. And they will sell you the report, die volle ware. Maak 'n grapje daar ook. En die rapport en die melk. And then they will close it, I think it was 11 o'clock. You couldn't buy petrol, anything on a Sunday. People stood and there was no shops open. There was no malls, there was nothing like that, because Sondag is a heilige dag voor God. And jy moet rus. En jy mag nie boek gelees het. You were not even allowed to cry anymore. But I believe there's something amazing about that rest period. I believe God is wanting us to rest in Him. Now this is the word that I got. Haggai 2, verse 3. Who is left amongst you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? It is not as nothing in your eyes. Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I've made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. So God is speaking to them. It's in the time where they came back to rebuild the temple, the house of God. Not by power nor by might, but by your spirit, says the Lord. It's the Rebubble. It's that guy that they're talking about. But God says, be strong. Be strong. My spirit is with you. Fear not. And do you remember the house in its former glory days? Now, in the beginning shofar days, you can ask Desiree there. She used to be in the cell group of Fred and Lucille right in the beginning. And Paul Creer, he was my first cell leader in 1800. And he said to me, it was crazy. Before he went to church, he would go to the river and repent of his sins first, because he knew every time he had sin in his life, it would be exposed in church. Radical things happened. They would go and pray in the streets and do worship. And if you had sin in your life, you got taken out completely. Everyone knew about it. The prophetic word would just expose you. It was radical. everybody was radical for God. Yes, there's pros and there's cons, and we also discovered a shofar that God's grace and His love is there, but it was radical days. But that radicalness caused us to go into nations all over the world, to go where cannibals are now church planters, and we are working with them in the Himalayas. It's amazing what God has done, where students go to Nepal and Dubai and Saudi Arabia and to Korea, to countries, because there's a radicalness for God. And I believe God is just saying, do we remember the former glory of this house? Because God wants to restore it. And then verse 6, He says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." So God is saying, just once more, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, everything, because the glory of God will come back to the house. Now, in 1947, there was a revival in the Hebrides Islands. It's in Scotland. And these people would be praying. And while they prayed, God started shaking houses, that the cutlery will fall off the shelves. Just the power of God that got released in the houses. And in 1809, there was these two guys, John Kendrick and George Middlemiss. They were soldiers from England. They came to South Africa. They were Christians. They were looking for a prayer group. In 4 years, they could not find one prayer group. In 1,000 soldiers, they didn't find one Christian. So they were looking for people. They were praying. They said that Cape Town was like the Paris of the South. It was wicked. There was a lot of immorality. People were not seeking God at all. And they prayed. And then there came an earthquake in October 1809. And it shook everything in Cape Town. And these big boulders came rolling down and destroyed houses. The people ran to the Cape Flats and they started praying, "Here, help, here, help, we're going to die." And because they were calling out on the name of the Lord, a revival took place. Hundreds of people came to the Lord, surrendered to the Lord. The churches became full. And from that to the Eastern Cape, these guys went out to start sharing the gospel of God. But there was a shaking that took place, and that caused people to come to God. I don't know if you remember 9/11, 2002, I was working for Old Mutual then. And then that Sunday, our church was full of people. Everyone that never went to church came to church that day because people thought it was the end of the world. When a shaking takes place, people get a fright and they want to go back and they want to get the hulle saak reg met die Here. So I, when God is saying, yet once more, I'm going to shake, then in Hebrews 12, verse 26, he says, "At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." This phrase, "once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. In order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is an all-consuming fire. So God says once more, I'm going to shake the heavens and earth, that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Everything that is from man, everything that is not from me is going to shake. That everything that remains is God, it's me. Now, when you're offering quivers, thank you, because the focus, the order is God. When that happens, we don't have to be afraid of anything. So when we are in the kingdom of God, we bring acceptable worship to reverence and God, to who God is, it can shake. Because I, in the kingdom of God, it's unshakable. And I really believe what God is saying, that I'll if there's a shaking, because I can't say there is going to be. I can't say, I can tell you what other people have said, but it doesn't matter what this world brings against us. When we are right and our priorities are right and we walk in obedience to God and we walk sold out to God, doesn't matter what happens, we are unshakable because we are in the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. The things will fall into place because I'm following God. I'm seeked after God. I know that my God is a good God. We bring worship. We serve Him. Now just, I continued reading and into Hebrews 13, but it says, and these things I believe comes from a place where we connected with God. The Spirit of God is leading us. These things flows automatically, not because I'm having to do it, but because of I'm inspired by the love of God to do it. But it talks about, if you have your Bible open, it talks about continue with brotherly love, show hospitality to strangers, remember those in prison, remember those who are mistreated, the poor and all of that. Do not love money, but be content with what you have. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, but be strengthened by grace and not by food. Just quickly on that, we drove to the Cedarburg Mountains, and I stopped and I bought biltong, and there was this big fat pieces on the biltong. So when I ate that, I said, I'm following the Tim Noakes diet now, because he says it's good for you to eat fat. So I choose now when I choose what diet, but when it's biltong, I follow his, I follow his diet. So what I'm just saying, don't get filled or get strengthened by grace, not by foods. Many people are, as he did eat, gaan jy dood gaan, but just if we follow Jesus, we'll go to heaven. Then he says in Hebrews 13, verse 4, let marriage be held in honor amongst all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. I really believe the cornerstone of society is our marriages, is our family, to get the order right in our families. I was tired after this morning's sermon. I came home, my wife is sick, so papa op sy fiets met die twee laities moet eers gaan fietsry voordat ek mag eet. But I've got to do this for my boys. They can't think that ministry is tough. They can't think that ministry is hard. Then they will not like God. If their dad is always distant, I'll take this strain and I'll get onto that bicycle and I'll go and cycle until they're tired. But I've got to realize that family comes first. And I want to say it to all of us. Family is the most important thing for everybody. We must get our priorities. Work is one of those balls that can fall, but marriage cannot fall. If that is broken, it's very difficult for that to be restored. It's only a miracle that can restore it. When we lose our kids, we lose them. If that little heart is broken and they lose trust in the Father, we lose them. And this is why I'm so adamant that we in this church must disciple our children, because our children is not our future, it's our now. If we don't get them now, we're going to lose them for the future. So marriage, and then he says, Hebrews 6, I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So whatever happens, even if the meteors falls from the sky and Twin Towers collapse and the earth shakes and God is going to come and there's not yet been a rapture, we know confidently, God, thank you that you are my helper, Lord. I will not fear. I will be bold. I will be courageous. Lord, thank you for who you are. We can speak that because I know who my God is. I will confidently say, Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Even if I don't have a job, I know I can stand on the word and the goodness of God because I know who Jesus is. Then he says in verse 15, let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Acknowledge his name. And I just realized this while in my own life, just the words that we speak. Oh, we speak so much death over one another. And curses that we release. We must really be careful what we speak. And what the heart is full is will come from the mouth. And I really just trust that, you know, we will get whole, emotionally whole. We cannot grow spiritually if we're emotionally broken. And I really trust God that He will come and heal our hearts, that we can be whole as a whole people, because we cannot grow and stand in faith if there's still hurts from the past and we get upset about everything that someone has done against me and, you know, I'm going tantrums and, you know, then you know there's something that we must trust God for, that wholeness in us to happen. Do not neglect to do good. Share what you have. It's also pleasing to God, but that comes from a place of having relationship with God. And then Hebrews 17, I was like wanting to take this verse out, and I thought, but I'm going to put it in. So I'm putting it in. So if you're upset with me, forgive me. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. 1 Peter says that for us who are in leadership, says, shepherd the flock, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering for those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So it is both ways. You know, it's if there's leadership that is domineering, there will come rebellion from that. But the thing is, as a leader, and we all leaders, we're going to have to give an account to God for the souls underneath us. But there's also a place that I believe that God is wanting to put the order in right again, that we must get the order right, that there is submission, there is structures, and the structures are there for protection. When we fall out of the structures, we are falling out of relationship. And it's then very easy to get taken out. And then pray. And I just believe that as we are going to be held accountable for the souls underneath us, we're also going to be held accountable for how did we pray for the people that is over our care. So both ways, it goes both ways. That there is a place that we forgive and say, oh, that man has hurt me, but I forgive him, Lord, and I pray for him. And God, we pray for whatever they might be going through. But there is protection in this place. Obey your leaders and submit for them. For they are keeping watch over your souls. And then verse 20 says, and I just want to finish, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So may God equip all of us to do his will. And not that what is important to us, but to do what he wants us to do, because that is where the blessing is. Now, there's many people are coming to me lately, and they are so excited with what God is doing in their life. And after Bible school, there was this incident again where this one person came to me, and she just told me about God, and she's so excited with what God is doing in her life, and it was so amazing. And she shared the following with me. So I said to her, thank you. Can I use it? Because this is going to finish off my sermon. This is what I really believe, what God is. I just couldn't formulate it, but this was it. God speaks to Moses. He says, you're my friend. You're my friend. And then God says, God, if I have favor in your sight, show me your ways that I can walk. And then God says to him, Exodus 33, verse 14, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And I believe in all of this, our rest is in the presence of God. And getting the order right is starting with spending time with God. It's spending time, quality time with God. It's praying. I joked with the people this morning, lees jou Bybel, bid elke dag, bid elke dag, bid elke dag. It's that place where we just start reading our Bible. Just allow God to wash us over, then from that place we can act in obedience and yes, what is God saying to me, and take a scripture, but we pray and we do not neglect the fellowship of believers. We come to cell, even if it is difficult. We just, even if it's just for half an hour that we are in cell, that we have people that pray over us, that we look after for one another, but that place of me alone with God, we cannot not have that, even if we are taking strain. But we have to come into His presence, because that will give us rest. Because we are busy. We are busy, and it's we do Arguses, and we do all these things on Sundays. And I'm seeing my cell leaders come to church once in a month. And I'm concerned, because people are not spending time. And are they doing things for God? And they're angry because it's not fresh revelation for them. It's law, because there's not grace. They're not connecting with the Christ, the love of God, because they're having to do things. It's like, "Wat kan ek my drie reëls wat ek moet doen?" But God is not into rules. He wants relationship. So I want to encourage you, the presence, seek the presence of God. And then Matthew says, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to me, Jesus, come to me. Come into my presence, and I will give you rest. So even if we get shaken in the presence of God, spending time with Him, in His presence, God will give us rest. So make time for God. Make time to be in the presence of God. Make time to be with God. So I just want to finish off that Jesus brings hope. And if you guys can just come forward, I just want to see how much time we have. If there's just a song that we can sing, I just want to give you the opportunity, because I don't want to expose anybody here, but I'm going to expose myself a little bit. You know, like being that the American sniper, you go through shots and you see people, and just people that dies, and you hear things happen, and you get so disappointed, and you're so excited about something that God is going to do in this a person's life, and you open your heart, and then you get disappointed, and you have got to work through all that stuff again, and then something else comes, and then people fall away, and it's hard, it's tough. You know, come to a place where you just don't want to anymore. And then last year there was this point where Henny prayed over me, and he said to me, "I'm going to sit on the hot seat and everyone must pray," but just Henny was praying, and he was just praying, and the spirit of prophecy came so powerfully upon Henny, and he was just praying stuff over me, and I was like crying, and I really got amazing release in that place. And then in the beginning of this year, or was it last year? It was last year as well, Heinrich was preaching, and I came forward and I said to him, "Yes, Heinrich." I asked someone else to pray for me, and they said, "No, but you must first repent of that thing." And I said, "I don't want to repent. I just want someone to pray for me." So I repented, but I'm unhappy, because I'm just unhappy. And he was finished, and I went to him and I said to him, "Yes, brother, I feel me any. This is my lack any. Can you just pray for me?" And he said to me, "Theo," but I'm like, "Aragat no for." And he takes his head, hand behind my head, and he pulls me in. And I'm like uncomfortable, because now what's going to happen now? And he starts praying and he starts crying, and then I'm starting to, and I'm crying, and he's praying, and I'm like not sure what to do with my hands, and all the worship guys are standing here, and it's like long, and then he walks out and he takes tissues like this, and he's like, and the guys here, like standing like, you know, like there's one or two people that wanted to ask us a question, but they're not sure where to go now, because it's really uncomfortable. But for me, it was release. And I came into the presence of God, into His rest. And I know that I'm a son. I know who God is, because I could connect with Him again. It's not the stuff that I have to do for Him, but it's because of the love of what Christ has done. So from that, maybe you are going through all these things and you're taking strain, and you just want someone maybe just to pull you in. And you maybe just need to cry a little bit because you're taking strain. I was in Nomzamo some time ago, and there's many, I've like heard where this one guy, he's not with us in the church anymore, but he would pray for a lady and then she would fall over. Then he would pick her up and he'd bring her forward and he would pray for her in the front so that she fall over again. And I was angry because of that. And there was, when I was there, and there was people and there was this one lady crying, and I just did, because it meant so much for me, but my whole shirt was wet. But I just saw that God did a work of healing in that place where the healing and the deliverance came because of the love of Christ. And I just want to say that God loves you and me. He loves us. And God's heart is good. And He's amazing. But He changes us when we come into His presence. And we're taking shots because we're not getting rest. We're not coming into His presence. And therefore we're going through all these things and we don't understand it. We don't have a desire to pray because we are tired. It's coming from us. It's not coming because of the Spirit in us, because of that place of sonship. It comes because we're trying to do things. But we cannot do it. We cannot only be inspired by God. So do you guys want to, what song can we sing?
Open the eyes
of our heart, Lord. If you can just stand. And Gerard, can you miskien net die ligte afsit? Miskien net Oh, Lord God, we just, as we come before you, Lord, God, we don't want to put pressure on anybody, Lord, but God, because, Lord Jesus, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God, there's no guilt. There's no shame in you, Lord. God, there's even no sin because you have justified us. There's just a place where you're saying to us, come to me and I will give you rest. And Father, we pray, Lord God, even though the world gets shaken, that we will come to the kingdom of God because that cannot be shaken. That we don't have to do things, Lord, to earn salvation, but we can come to you because of faith, because of your grace, because of you paying the price for us on the cross, and that you have done it already on the cross, Lord, but that you want to release your love, God, in our lives, Lord, and your power and your healing and your deliverance in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just want to bring every person here who's taking strain, and Father, we pray and we just ask you, Lord God, for an opportunity right today, Lord God, tonight, just to restore. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we sing, if you need prayer, if you want to just respond and say, God, I'm taking strain, I just want to encourage you to come forward. I'm not going to drag it out of you. If you want to respond, please, we want to pray with you. May God bless you.